something went on here, something went on there. And
this time on TNT.
Some changes coming up, buds. Things are going to sound a little different, and we're pumped.
And I don't have a kitchen still.
And real town or fake town? Some of Canada's weirdest names. It's all coming up right now on TNT.
Everybody's got a hungry heart. Everybody got a hungry heart. Sing the words and you get that part. Everybody got a hungry heart.
That's the easy part. Try a verse.
No. I was always wondering what he was doing here.
Picking up where we left off with Sing Along, which, if this is the first time you're ever listening to our podcast,
Everybody's got a hungry heart.
Here's how it works.
Everybody,
you fire on a song and you have to sing along, whether you know the words or not.
Everybody's only flapping darts. I don't know what this thinking and starts. I don't want everybody hungry hearts.
Is it got a wife and kids in Baltimore, Jack?
There's like, Kingston Bar. There's so many words, I have no idea.
Is that the line, though? Got a wife and kids in Baltimore, Jack? Like he's calling a guy Jack?
Let me look.
Got
a wife and kids in Baltimore, Jack.
I don't know about
ride
Jack.
And I never came back. Like a river that don't know where it's going or flowing.
Took a wrong turn and just kept going.
Play your part, baby. That's a classic.
Got a wife and kids in Baltimore, Jack.
I wanted, like, in my heart at the beginning, I wanted you to sing this, like, just to kick things off, but we're a device down, so you can't play the jams.
So here's what happened.
In spirit, that was supposed to be you doing that.
I think I would have nailed that first line.
I think so.
Got a weapon, kids, Baltimore, Jack. It does sound good. It's like South Detroit. It does. Those words sound pleasing coming out of someone's mouth.
Kids in Baltimore, Jack, when you sing it like you're vacuuming. Never go back.
Grabbing on America's phone. He is also the king of making a multi-syllable word one syllable. It's not flowing, it's flown. The reason we are a device down, Tags, is because we're on our Torrens family staycation, staying in Halifax for a couple of nights. The girls are in Neptune Theater summer camp.
Cool.
And we thought, you know what we should do? Why don't we make it a thing? Why don't we stay in a hotel for a couple of nights? How hard could it be? But the truth is, you guys did it recently. Did you feel as out of practice as we do?
What do you mean, like when we went to Pembroke?
Yeah.
It's weird in a way.
Like how do you sleep? What do you eat for breakfast? Where does the dog go? Like all these things that we used to have so dialed, it's been so long, we're like learning all over again.
I guess it does feel like a vacation and that everything's new, but it's a little awkward because you're just trying to get used to everything. Everybody feels like, well, it's a whole family. It's everybody's personality's got a vibe, right?
Well, people have different dietary needs, and we had to leave some animals behind, like Chubby Sparkles the Hedgehog did not make the trip. what's the move for him? Because the idea of leaving a hedgehog and a Leon burger in the same room just felt reckless. Also, Joy's a lot of dog to have in a hotel room.
Yeah. And then trying to find a place to go to the bathroom.
Yes. I think she's a country girl, so she knows how it works in the country. But in all this concrete, she's like, well, that's not like somewhere I would go to the restroom. So I've walked miles this morning trying to encourage her to do her business, but it hasn't happened.
just the bail out the door and burl into the field and let it rip anywhere,
yeah,
a mile away.
Yeah, that's just like me. That's what I do too. But so, for some reason, it's not happening in the city.
So you're having a nice little hang in the city. I'm still in the middle of renovations here. There's probably, you'll hear some song in the background. That's the front steps are getting put in.
What was wrong with the front steps?
There was some water damage underneath the rocks, underneath the stones. Yeah, so it was starting to seep into the sides. And you don't want it to go any further, like into the wood of the house. So,
heck no, you don't.
Just cleared out all the moisture. And then redid the cement pads and then let it dry out good and then creating a more of a slope with so water can run off.
There's a show on, I think it might even be on CTV. It's with Mike Holmes and his children. And they track down people that need to have a renovation of some kind done and they go do it. And they each have a different skill. His son, who I believe is also named Mike Holmes, is a very charming, likable sort and has a nice personality. And he's kind of the
he could throw us around easily like rag dolls
if he had to.
Yeah.
But you can tell he sassed his old man a couple times, but it was kind of playful. But I don't think he'd do it for real because I think Mike Sr. runs the show there.
You don't want to see him start throwing bows?
Yeah.
those shoulders like coming at you?
His kids like to tease dad a little bit, but it was very clear who's wearing the coveralls in that family.
Remember the He-Man, the He-Man dolls in the 80s?
Yeah.
Remember there was a He-Man doll that had like the arms that were up, and the thing of what it did was like the arms, you pull them back, and they'd be like, chicka, 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 chicka. They'd be like boxing fires, just throwing elbows.
Well, the interesting thing is, in this show,
Mike Holmes' arms.
I didn't know he could uncross his arms. I think I've only ever seen him with his arms crossed. But not only was he, his arms were uncrossed, but he wasn't even wearing coveralls.
He did it, but he had the tank top going though, right?
Well, it was winter. See, here's what happened. There was this place called...
He still had it on though.
He still had it on underneath for sure.
He had a tough duck. He was rocking the tough duck.
Yeah. He had some tough skins, jeans on, some Carhartt items, an earring. And I would say he was freshly shorn. He also had a hard hat sometimes. So basically this place is in, I think it's Smithville, Ontario, outside of Hamilton. And it's a place where kids go to hang, especially kids that don't have many other options. And they've kind of formed a family there and they found each other and the place was falling down. Real nice story. And one of those things that you're watching for 3 minutes and you have tears pouring down your cheeks. It was a real nice thing they did. But I was trying to get a sense of how much of the work Mike Holmes does, or if he just kind of stops by every 10 days and says, like, oh, I want my crew going home. They need a night's rest.
He's like Rick Rubin. He just shows up, goes on a treadmill for 10 minutes, and then leaves.
Yeah. Shows up, signs off, leaves.
Yeah, there's no way he's picking up a hammer anymore, for sure.
He's
not moving anything around.
I don't know much about his story. But he's obviously a really big celebrity and has done well. But did he do well from the TV or did he do well from the construction?
Well, I guess he did good work. That was his thing.
Right.
So, but once you're the contractor, that's the end of moving and picking up stuff. If you're, you know, it's just kind of you're making phone calls and making sure everyone's doing their job and then you split.
I know, but I bet that's less fun. It's like teachers have become principals. Like, that's not why you got into teaching. Probably not why you got into construction, so that you could drive around to Rona to see if you can find a better price on.
Yeah, but it gives you the screws. Opportunity to have like two or three or four different jobs going at once, so you can create more income, right? As opposed to like you're doing the one thing by yourself.
And then suddenly you have a leather interior in your pickup truck.
Exactly.
That's when you know you're far away from the hammer.
the golden shiny truck nuts.
But I guess
swinging in the breeze.
Like if you're Mike Holmes Jr., I don't know. Does he have to work? Does he choose to? Is he a construction guy by trade or more of a TV guy? I wonder. I don't know his backstory.
I think he worked himself up the ranks.
Did he?
Like actually grunted his way. Yeah. That's my guess.
I'll tell you, Mike Holmes' daughter seems like a nice person.
Yeah? I don't know. See, there. How many are there?
I don't know.
Is there just the daughter and the son?
I don't know. I would look it up, but someone busted us last week. Yeah. They were like, boys, move the keyboard away from the mic. So I'll try to type quietly.
In on it? His wife's in on it, too?
Well, I don't know. You might be thinking of Brian Baumler.
No, that's...
Right, they have like a hotel on an island.
The ones that are doing the resort.
Yeah.
Holy fuck, we're gonna lose our shirt. Every episode is like, and then it's fine.
So wait a sec, he has three kids.
Is there three?
Yeah. Every episode of that Brian Baumler show is like, we're ready to open. Tsunami! We open today at 5. Where's the roof?
Okay, we're gonna open up. Oh my god, this man of war's just man of war's across the whole beach, get off the beach! You know those like jellyfish. Never seen this many man of war's in my life!
Okay, finally we're ready to open. Towel shortage! There's a worldwide towel shortage. Well, we can't open without towels. Damn it! We're ready to open. There's a crocodile in the lobby. The entire hotel's underwater.
And obviously COVID was like the whole thing too, right? Well, since we haven't been able to open in the last 18 months, there's no tsunamis or nothing to worry about.
Right, it's been beautiful for the last 18 months. They just... haven't had any
customers. It's been
customers.
So long, they've had to update the place like three times. Well, I guess this has gone out of style because we can't open yet.
I wonder.
Oh my god, it's an earthquake!
I wonder if we can book a night. Like, is it open?
At the Bombsies?
Yeah.
What's it called?
Bomb.com. The show's renewed, but for a third season.
Is it?
All these questions, you know, the internet prompts you.
Oh, man.
All the questions are like, did it get canceled? Are they still together? Where does he live now? Are they back in Canada? They bickered along the way, but they're still together.
Did they sell everything and just they're there full time now?
I don't know. The Baumlers own the hotel. Oh, see, this is great. They found out how much was spent on the resort from HGTV's show. I don't know. I guess that's the dream, the island.
Well, the show's paying for their house, so it's great. Or their resort, I guess, right?
No, they would have to pay for, they would have bought the resort. Baumler worked from 95 to 2003 running an air cargo business.
I know, but I'm saying if I got like a crazy deal to do that deck, I got like the 80% off the price of what it would be. Imagine he's getting like deals on everything that happens on the show, no? And then there's the budget of the show.
Oh, I see.
You know what I mean? I'm sure they got, you know, probably $100,000 an episode to do something.
I see. So you think maybe what they're getting, oh my gosh, after the challenges caused by shipment delays, foundation problems, and Hurricane Sandy. Oh. What a calm show. Oh no. The poor Baumlers. Oh, here we go. Oh my gosh. After months of hard work and investing all their money into their dream project, Brian and Sarah finally opened their resort to guests in March 2020. The couple had no choice but to briefly shut down their luxury resort until October. Like, bless their hearts.
But the show's still banging, obviously, and it's not just, it's like, that's a North American show, no? Is it? In the States?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So that's a big show. That's paying for the resort.
Speaking about their finances for the project, Brian admitted they were in pretty deep. They bought the property for $2 million with the intention of spending $4 million more for renovations alone. Oh my gosh. Signature collection suites there are $785 to $1,425.
You gotta go.
USD.
You gotta go down. Take the fam jam.
Here's what I think. I don't think HGTV puts any money into the resort. But I think...
Well,
I think your point is a good one. They probably get like, hey, if we say we're putting a Samsung TV in every room, will you give us those TVs?
Plus money.
You think?
Yeah. Of course. So, like, whatever you're seeing, they're, like, getting for nothing. Like, if it's like, hey, we're putting a Trex deck here, that means all of a sudden the Trex is free. And it's just the labor costs.
I want your Trex. when you did, was it Disaster Decks? Is that the one?
Yeah.
Yeah. What did you pay?
It would have been like $80,000, and I paid like $11,000 or $10,000.
Whoa! So what did you pay for? Materials? Not even.
Yeah, labor? Well, I got a super great deal on the materials.
That's amazing.
Like, for example, you know that those really heavy deck chairs and tables and stuff. It's made out of that really thick, dense composite.
Yeah.
That you can just power wash off and they last forever. Those, I think that those were like, that set was, I don't know how much, probably like $7,000-$8,000 or something. And we got it for like $2,500 or $2,500.
Okay. Just don't think, just answer. Ready?
Yeah.
Brian Baumler or Mike Holmes?
What?
Period.
What do you mean? Like, if you were...
Just period.
To do a house?
Road trip.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah.
You're going to play Cabot Lynx with one of those two guys, but you're driving from Ontario. Which one?
With them. Just me and one of them?
Yeah.
Like, and then you pick? Okay.
Yeah.
I think I would go with Baumler.
Same.
Baumler.
I think that's the correct answer.
I worry that Holmes might get like ragey over something and like throw me out of the truck.
Stop the truck.
Shut the fuck up and throw me out the
He's door. Got leather interior for sure. But Mike's...
But no,
Mike seems like a bot.
Fun too. No, but Mike Holmes would probably be fun too, so I don't know. I'm just like, I don't know. Never know. Maybe Baumler would be just so busy. Both of them would be so on the phone the whole time.
Just working stuff?
Like I heard... When OLP was on Columbia Records, I played golf with a rep. And he was telling me he played golf with Will Smith a couple times. And he did the whole time Will Smith was on the phone the whole time. He didn't really even say hi, like said hi, and he was talking to people the whole like round.
Who?
Different, who knows, deals, people, I don't know, like when you're on that level. This was in the late 90s. So it was when he was like massive. Not that he's not massive, but on the phone all the time. Like those Wahlbergs and The Rock.
Just on the phone all the time.
They're just on the phone.
Like on my way to work today, yeah, I stopped by the opening of two Wahlburgers restaurants.
I told you, that's what I want. That's it. I'm in. That's it. Okay. No, no, more, more. I want more. Right?
Those,
next deal. Okay.
Those Wahlburgers are all over the place. Like the fast food places.
Yeah.
I'll tell
you
something.
Have you ever had one?
Yeah, yeah, they're good.
I've had one.
I would take Scott McGilvery over Baumler. I would take Baumler over Holmes. And I think I'd take Courtney and Dave over all of them.
Who's Courtney and Dave?
Courtney and Dave are masters of flip. They do the houses in Nashville, but they're actually, she's Canadian. I think they both are. And they were like country duo, the Wilsons.
They do music too. How come they always do music, everybody, all these guys?
I guess so. Maybe because like construction is kind of a safe thing you can do on the side. But that Scott McGilvery seems like a nice guy.
Because those twins play music, don't they?
Oh, yeah, they sure do.
The Property Brothers.
Yeah, they
and
sure
Paul
do.
Paul LaFrance plays music.
Does he?
And he's in had a band or has a band. There's a lot of them that play music for some reason. I don't know.
The Scott brothers definitely do. And then there's, if you've ever seen, you know, Christina on the Coast, they had Flip or Flop.
Okay, yeah.
It's actually wild, yeah. And then they broke up, and then she got married to a guy named Ant. And then they broke up, and then she did shrooms.
What?
Yeah, there was some story recently about how shrooms, like, showed her the way. And undid 20 years of anxiety. In like, I don't know, in one sesh. Okay.
I've heard that, mushrooms can kind of give you a different perspective on things.
She rewired her brain after doing mushrooms.
Sometimes people just need that. They just need a different perspective on things, yeah.
Yes. So she, I'm going to tell you, it's toad poison. That's what it was.
Yeah, licking toads.
She tried smoking toad poison, a treatment that she praises. Smoking bufo toad venom.
What the hell? So it's 1684? What the hell?
Smoking toad venom is a life-changing experience and is different for everyone. It cannot be summed up in one post, she said. Her ego has been torn from her. That's what it did. In an urgent way, required ego death. So she did. She smoked the toad poison, and then she met her boyfriend. Hunter Biden is also an advocate for toad poison.
I was like, what's that? The milk of the poppy for like back in the day if you were sick.
I guess so.
If you had painkillers.
Lick the toad.
Basically liquid heroin.
Interesting. Like, who discovered that? Oh, where do classic. You get it? How much is it? I have so many questions. But that Christina on the Coast seems to have a lot of things going on.
I heard about people licking toads and, like, smoking banana peels and stuff. Like, all these crazy in the 80s people's way. Like, usually, like, the older brother guy who gets stoned all the time telling you about it. Yeah, man, I tried this the other day. I remember one guy was like that. And he did this thing with my older brother where they just, like, held, like, went, and then, like, would hold their breath, and he just fell down. But he, like, fell forward on the rock dirt, rock road. Like, so he landed right on his face in the gravel. And then he's, like, gets up, and he's got, like, rocks stuck in his face.
What?
Like, pebbles in his face.
Here's something crazy.
Well, just stupid stuff, right?
Donovan's hit ways single, Mellow Yellow, is often credited with kicking off banana mania.
Oh, people smoking banana peels, yeah.
So that's, in Vancouver, I was turned on to bananas and Emily Carr the Painter, Edie Denson announced in the March 3rd, 1967 edition of Folk Scene. Take a banana smoking and eat banana it. Now peels. Take the peel and scrape the inside of it until you have a pile of banana pith. Cure the pith in the oven like grass. Roll it into joints and smoke it. The high is thought to be something like an opium high. What?
Oh, there you go. Okay.
So it's... You pith yourself. Yourself. Pith.
Oh, the guy's all slumped over in the corner and it's just a bunch of banana peels beside him.
Like...
I'm cooking up another batch in the oven.
Like, how come gorillas aren't banged up?
Well, you gotta, like, dry it up and then cook it. They're not doing that. They got other ways of doing it, I'm sure, getting banged up.
What animals are known to enjoy getting banged up?
I don't know. Look into that. That's a good one. I bet you lots of them.
Okay, I'm going to try to type quietly.
I mean, cats like catnip.
Yeah, they do.
They go after that stuff. They get right into it. So that's something.
Animals that like to get high. That's a whole prompt. Reindeer.
What do they get up high on?
Some kind of plant? In Siberia, reindeer are common, and so is the hallucinogenic mushroom Amanita muscaria.
Oh, that's right. They know all that stuff. So they're just getting all rainbow vision through the woods.
Wallabies on opium. Okay, this is a whole category I hadn't even considered. Animals like to get banged up.
There's a reindeer. It's like, I got electric light looking through the woods all banged up. Talking all crazy to the other animals. What's going on, everyone? I got the electric light.
Carl, you're Carl, too banged up, bud.
That mushrooms again. Ah! And he was running around.
I like that they sound like the trees when they're getting watered. Poppy farmers on the Australian island of Tasmania have reported wallabies entering their fields to consume the plants.
Yeah, wallabies all rolling around, banged up.
Dolphins.
Hey, I got a 100-foot extender, so now I can get the front hose around the house.
Oh, really? Got some extra hose?
Yeah, but the back one will be hooked up next week, so then I can really get things going.
What were you doing before, carrying buckets around?
Well, yeah, originally, because of the water reserve, the two barrels, they fill up when it rains, so you could get it from there. But it's been a little dry the last couple of weeks, so thank God I got the old hose going.
How but often are you watering stuff?
Well, the grass has been kind of browning out a bit there, so I've been kind of maintaining that so it doesn't dry out too much. So a little bit there.
Nice.
But mostly just the plants and the garden.
You're busy with your greenery.
I am. It's fun, though. It's something to do in the morning or the late night.
I like the routine.
Old R.E.M. song, Gardening at Night. Classic jam.
Jeremy, exciting news in the TNT universe.
Yeah.
Tell the people about the change around here.
Well, we partnered with the Podcast Exchange, and which basically now we have a weekly sponsor, and it gives us a chance now to get the pod, grow it and take it to the next level, you know, start to promote it more and have some cash in the kitty to pay for that kind of stuff and events and touring and merch and all that stuff. So it's pretty cool. We got our first gig would be Untuck It Shirts, eh, bud?
Eh, bud.
That's our first one.
Which is actually, I know that you feel the same way. We wouldn't endorse something that we didn't actually like or believe in. So that's an easy one. I actually have a few Untuck It shirts that I've had for a few years. Have a couple more now, thanks to the buds at Untuck It. And wore one out to dinner last night on our staycation.
Oh, really?
We went to the Keg. Like, haven't been out for dinner as a family in a while. It was fun.
Did you fire up a baseball?
I didn't.
Steaksy?
I didn't. I went for the sirloin.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But with a little starter Caesar salad, they get the sourdough bread going, you know?
There you go. So you had the easy update shirt and then the solid meal.
Yes.
There's a night. That's a good night.
Yeah, I genuinely do like the shirts. And I genuinely do like that they come in a variety of kind of applications, you know? They have the Henley t-shirts and the long sleeve ones. They're not just shirts for work. They're shirts for going out. They look good. They feel great. And Bob and Aaron and Jeff at the Podcast Exchange seem awesome.
Yeah. No, we're stoked, man. This is a whole new era for the buds.
Yes.
Good stuff.
So thanks in advance to the buds for listening to the commercials and getting why we're doing it and being as into it as we are.
Yes, absolutely. So we should take a little break here, bud.
Let's do it, bud.
All right. Listen to that drum fill. Who's that?
Wait, I don't hear it.
It's like it's just a kick drum bit.
Wait, put it back to the start.
Okay.
Here's what I hear. Boom, ka, boom, ka.
No, listen. Boom, and a bat. Here it comes again.
Oh, wow. Is it busier than it needs to be, or is it elegant?
Totally. Well, because it happens every four couple beats. He's ripping it. And a bat, and a bat. Who is it?
Jeremy,
John
you've
Robinson
been posting some crazy drum stuff lately. It's so great to see.
Thanks, bud. I've just been playing a lot and decided, I guess, to share some of the farting around, I guess, you know.
Is it because you have a place to kind of set it up?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. I couldn't play in my basement before without bugging the neighbors more. This is quieter. And it's not as loud outside. You can still hear it, but it's not as annoying, I guess.
So how does it feel?
Feels great. It's a great way to kind of get your heart ripping. It's comforting to connect to time when you're just playing. And there's something. It's like when people get into working out or yoga or running or jogging, like just you're kind of in a zone when you start. And it's always nice. You know what I mean? It's always a good feeling when you're playing.
So what do you do when you're practicing? Do you play along with records?
No, sometimes, but mostly I just play time and or sometimes I'll play to a click just to kind of if I'm working on something. But usually I'll just play time and I'm trying to when you just play time and work pivot points and try to push and pull in that beat that you're playing when you try to be more creative and push stuff out and put things in and add stuff and get busy or less busy or accents and all that stuff. Just to kind of, it's almost like exploring, you know, because when you're looking around a place and you don't know where it is, and if you just keep looking around, say a forest or whatever long enough, you start to, the terrain and everything gives you an actual map of, if you get used to it enough, you know, you can actually find your way around as if you, it was this escape with no trees. You know what I mean?
So do you just kind of riff in and out of the waves?
Well, you're just
like play it straight, then try some crazy stuff.
Yeah. That enables you by doing that when you're practicing, it enables you to be more free when you're playing music. Like if you're playing in a band, if you're playing live shows, when you're playing those songs, it just kind of gives you more of a vocabulary to work from. But that vocabulary is all part and its purpose is solely to maintain a groove. You know what I mean? So for me, it's easier to maintain a groove if in my head I'm thinking of like like 16 beats as opposed to just 1, 2, 3, 4. Like I'm thinking in my head, I hear all those other beats, and those are the ones that I'm pushing or adding or working on or adding little spots in. Because at the end of the day, you're just kind of making it flow, and you want it to sound as even and audible as you can, you know.
Is there such thing as being in shape?
As a drummer?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, like
if you haven't played for a while and you set up your drum kit, does it take a while to get in shape?
Well, there's always, if there's rust, if you don't keep things up, there's always rust. And even, I think the only rust I would have now is when you don't play live shows, the only difference when you're practicing is you're not playing that loud for 90 minutes, you know? So that's what you have to get more used to, playing at a higher volume for a longer period of time. And that's just endurance. And that's not, you know, that's something that happens. And it's almost difficult to do it in a practice space, you know, to pretend you're playing with the energy of a bunch of people watching. Because when there's a crowd, it elevates your everything. It makes you, you know, play with more, there's just more energy, you know, you play, so you're not necessarily playing louder, but you're emoting more, and you're sweating more, and your heart beats up more. So it's a difficult setting to try and fake when you're sitting by yourself.
So you don't actually play harder, it's just better amplified?
Well, it depends. Yeah, sometimes you play harder because you're more excited, and I guess if you're playing hard music where you're actually hitting the drums hard, then you'll probably play harder, yeah. But if you're playing like light drumming that's tight and small, you're not going to just all of a sudden play it all rock and smashing, you know. So yeah, there's two different approaches, but definitely more energy is on the shoulders.
Joy, pipe down,
Mike.
Yeah, Joy. Come here, Joy. Come here.
Joy's like, who's that in the room next door? Why is there someone that I don't know in the room next door?
Joy, come here. Joy. Hi, Joey. Hi, Joey.
It's like the Arnold Schwarzenegger movie where he's born on an island and has never seen anybody except the grooming by the scientists that he's given. I can't remember what it is, but he like, it's a bad movie. But that's Joy.
As pertains to Joy. I thought you meant as pertains to drummer and I was trying to follow you.
No, Joy, just being in this world of like, what is going on all of a sudden? I'm just used to this bliss and openness.
Now, if you're drumming and sweating, why don't the sticks fly out of your hands?
Because you've still got the grip.
Do you ever put chalk on your hands like gymnasts do?
Like LeBron James? No.
Yeah.
But Tim was saying it was moist down there at the lake. And that's one thing that you would have to deal with big time if you're not playing much and then all of a sudden you're playing 5 shows a week, like is blisters on your hands, like that hat. You have to go through your hands if you haven't been playing and the calluses wear away.
Wow.
That has to happen. Like you have to get them back. There's no way around it. So you have to kind of get blisters. I mean, you can probably work it up, but yeah, eventually you're going to be like, I gotta actually, you know, because if you're playing outdoor humid shows and you're smashing it, you're gonna have to, hope that your hands don't break.
Do you wear British driving gloves, like with holes in the knuckles?
That doesn't help, because then your hands are just soup inside the glove. So it's almost worse. So underneath, you're just got water, and it's just like, you know what, how a blister is if you put a glove.
Yeah.
It just becomes wet and more loose. So, yeah, that's almost a recipe for disaster.
You know, those Arkells, how many shows did they sell out down there? Three?
Three, yeah. Three bangers.
Nuts. And the return to kind of live music for a lot of people by the looks of it.
Yeah, it was for sure. It was kind of like the breath of live fresh air. And it was I think 5,000 capacity at a show as opposed to I think 20 plus and down there. So it was, but it was still a lot of people. I'm sure it felt exactly the same. So
people love those Arkells, man. I bet it felt great for them to be up playing again.
Yeah. It's good for our bod.
Good for our bod, Timothy.
Yeah.
It'll feel good for us to get out there live again too.
Yeah. We'll be rocking it soon. I think probably, we'll see how it goes here in the fall. The next wave ski.
Do you ever miss playing live for a big crowd?
I mean, performing is fun. Playing is always fun. But I'll play again for sure.
Well, it would sure mean a lot to the bods.
Just a matter of time, bod.
Okay, so we're going to play a game where we name a small town in Canada. And it doesn't even have a clever name yet. You just have to guess if it's a real town or a fake town. Like, it doesn't rhyme like realtor or fakter. But it's still a good game nonetheless.
Yeah.
Okay. So who's going first?
To start?
Yeah,
I'll start.
All I have to do is guess if it's a real town or not.
Yes.
Okay.
And I'm just going to stick in Ontario to keep it simple here.
Okay.
The first town is real or fake, Brant, Ontario. Brant.
B-R-A-N-T?
Yeah. Brant.
Okay, I'm going to talk it out. There's a guy named Brant Penvidic, who's a Canadian guy who worked in TV. I think so, the story goes. He cold called David Foster. He was like, hey, can I work in TV? And the Foss was like, you seem bold. Sure.
No way.
Which the older I get, the more I'm convinced that that's kind of how things go down. Anyway, I'm stalling.
I know, right?
I feel like Brant is plausible. So yes, Brant, Ontario is a town.
Brant, Ontario, population 37,000. Yes, it is real.
Do you know where it is? I feel like I've driven by it.
Brant. Let me find it. Brant. It's near the hammer, bud.
Huh. You know what else is near the hammer?
What?
The town of Smithville, Ontario, where Mike Holmes and his children went to fix a thing for a lady. Okay, 1-1 for one. Here is your first small town. I'm not going to go base. Like, there are lots of, like, Crotch Lake, Balls Falls kind of places.
Balls Falls. No way.
Yeah.
That's a place for sure.
Yeah, it is. And the interesting thing is there's an apostrophe, so the ball possesses the falls. Like, it's not plural. The balls own the falls. Okay. This one is in Ontario as well.
Okay.
Real or fake? Punky Doodles Corners.
Come on. Hunky Doodles Corners?
Yeah.
I mean, that sounds annoying enough to be real. I'm going to say it's real. It's not, is it?
It's real, bud.
Oh, it's real. Wow.
Yeah. Hey, do you know what it's known for?
Yeah, I live in Hunky Doodles Corners.
It's P. It's like a Punky Brewster.
Where is it?
Punky Doodles Corners is in the Waterloo region. And do you know what it's most famous for?
What?
Frequent sign theft.
Oh my God.
People want the sign that says Punky Doodles Corners. Okay, good. So I'm up one.
Oh, that's right.
Okay, what's my next one?
Damn.
Zion.
Okay. Okay. The town of Crumb, Ontario.
Like C-R-U-M-B?
Yeah. Crumb.
My first reaction was, it's not that crazy, it's probably true, but then I don't think you'd go two truths back to back. So I'm going to say false.
Yeah, come on.
Is it false?
Wouldn't want to, it's false, but it's a great name for a town. Welcome to Crum.
It's a great name for a town.
You know, it's like nobody wants to live here, but we got our thing.
Crum. Bacon Ridge, Manitoba.
That sounds, Bacon Ridge, Manitoba sounds fake to me. That sounds annoyingly fake.
It's real, no bud.
It's not. Yes. Bacon Ridge?
Yeah.
Like, it sounds so, like, this. Who the hell would say, like, call it Bacon Ridge? What, because there's, like, a pig farmer on there?
I don't know. I was working in Colorado once. I can't remember if I told you this. And the town next door was called No Name. And it's because when they were making the map, they were like, buds, we're going to be making the map. You need to tell us what your name is by such and such a date. And they didn't. So they put on, I don't know, ye old post-it notes or whatever they had back in the day, No Name as kind of a placeholder. And then it went to print as No Name.
That's it. And that's the end. So they had to keep it?
That's eight. Yeah.
No, there's no way.
That's eight. No Name, Colorado, next to Colorado Springs. I have some great ones on this list from the show Still Standing. Do you want me to keep going or do you have more?
Yeah, go and give me another one if you got another good one.
Okay.
Then I'll give you one.
Or is it on the list? Finger, Manitoba.
That sounds so greasy. That's got to be fake. That can't be a real place.
It's real, bud.
Oh, my God. Yeah. It's so greasy.
I guess. It just depends on your outlook and how you're wired.
Fingies. How about... Okay. Pincher Creek.
That's real. I think I've been there.
Come on down to Pincher Creek.
I think Pincher Creek is real.
How could you be there? It's only got 3,600 people.
No, it's passing through.
What, like when we were driving past to go to a gig?
Yeah, probably you were sleeping and I was driving. That's how I saw it.
It's a real town.
Urine, Saskatchewan.
That's real.
How did you know that?
Because I've heard that one before.
Urine, good one. Saskatchewan. There's also Climax, Saskatchewan.
How about Tobermory?
Isn't that Tobermory?
Yeah, but it's more funny if it's a fake one called Tobermory. And there's no boat wrecks. There's nothing in Tobermory.
Isn't there?
Well, there is in Tobermory. Every time you see on a picture of Tobermory, and they show that boat under the water.
What boat?
Look, go right now.
Are you going type on the Googsy?
No, type it in there.
Type it quietly, because that bud said we were too loud near the mics.
Well, yeah. I am. I have mine separate from the
type keyboard. Type it quiet, bud. It's too loud, bud.
I'm going to look at Tobermory and then images. Yeah. So
there's a boat?
The fifth one that came up. Oh, well, the first one's there. Like, it's the same picture, but...
Oh, yeah, there it is. Picture. What is it, a dive site?
So when you go there, like, how many people do you think are, like, trying to go see that boat when you're in Tobermory?
So it's on the Bruce Peninsula. What'd they do, sinker so you could dive on it?
No, it just sank there, I guess. And it's just probably like old, like Coke cans and bongs in it now.
Speaking of which, cocaine, New Brunswick.
No way. What do they call it again? What's the name? What's the other name for it? For scoops?
Gack?
No.
Gack, New Brunswick.
No, the one that we heard in PEI, the name. What was that other gear?
Oh, the gear. Yeah. Always right into the gear. Joey. cocaine, New Brunswick.
to the guy who wants gear at the party.
Hey, buddy, you got any gear?
What? No, I don't, man. You just asked me that.
Nora can get any gear?
No, sorry.
You don't know anyone who's got gear? We're going to get some gear. Cocaine, New Brunswick, yes or no?
No, no way.
That's real.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. C-O-C-A-G-N-E, cocaine.
No way. That's
good. Cocaine, New Brunswick. It's spelled like Cocagne, but it's in Kent County. It's a rural community, lovely, on the beach. It's funny because there's like cocaine hotels, cocaine tourism, cocaine attractions, cocaine restaurants, cocaine island. Yeah, it's beautiful. You can kayak on cocaine.
I remember some of these. Yeah, now I'm looking in Alberta, and I remember driving through a lot of these places.
Do you?
Same. Yeah.
Yeah, you must have seen every corner of Canada.
Most. The drives back and forth. But I remember still the first time I saw the mountains, that was pretty horny.
Oh, yeah. Very horny. We were talking last night at dinner, as a matter of fact, about things that are actually amazing. Like, you know how people say, like, this toast is amazing?
Yeah.
Like, things that are like actually... What is actually amazing? We're so prone to hyperbole. It was the best muffin ever kind of stuff. So we're talking
about... It has to be a pretty good muffin, yeah.
We're talking about things that are actually amazing, and I thought Lake Louise was pretty amazing.
Yeah, the water.
Yeah.
That blue water.
Doesn't make sense.
Yeah, you're like, what's going on here?
Snafu... Yukon. Real or fake?
I mean, that sounds like a punk band, so I'm going to say no way.
It's real, bud.
Oh, come on, man. That's it. I quit.
I know.
I'm done.
You are stinking up the room. It was named after everyone's favorite military acronym, Situation Normal, all fouled up, by the U.S. military while they were building the Alaska Highway. It's a campground now, surrounded by lakes and canoe. It's a good place for canoe trips.
Are you going to hit the RV this coming up at all?
I think so. I'm not sure where. I'm not sure where we're going to go. We had booked a trip to Massachusetts the last week of August, but I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah.
I guess on the 21st, they revisit... what the border situation is, but I don't imagine it's going to be that different.
The broader.
I know. We usually do a little sneaky Target back to school rip.
No banger sneak at all.
No banger sneak, no Jason's Pizza.
Well, no, I imagine who's probably feeling that the worst is Tim down in the Fort Erie, because that's such a huge part of life down there is ripping over the border.
So did you talk to him after the gigs?
I didn't go to any of the gigs, but I've been talking to him before and after, for sure.
Like, how did it go?
Great.
Did he love it?
Yeah. He said he... I mean, I saw clips, and they played fantastic.
Yeah.
I just was, you know, for one, so busy in the house, but two, just kind of not feeling... live shows yet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, just gotta step out there when I really feel good. I'm even though we're over double vaxxed for over a month now, but still, when you hear stuff, you just kind of, especially with the kids going into school and Lisa's mom is going to come visit soon. So just keeping it,
I know it's not
keep her tight here.
Like, yeah. Even being in a hotel, like the elevator door opens and there's someone on it. Like, I don't know. Are we supposed to get on or not? Anyway, everything's a little different,
right? It is. It's really weird. Yeah, because you know, and you're still masking it up all over the place, and sometimes I notice, like, going back and forth from the car and the hotel, it's like, you know, you forget your mask and you got to go back to the car and get a new mask or go to the front and get another mask.
Yeah.
So you end up having like 15 masks in your pocket when you're traveling around.
Oh, here's a bonehead move I did yesterday. I was paying for parking and you stick your card in and then you punch all the stuff. And then in the end to pay for it, you tap your card. So it took like 2.5 minutes to go through all the stuff, like just the city parking thing. And so by the time I was ready to tap, I grabbed a card and tapped and drove away, left my credit card in the thing.
Oh no.
I know.
That sucks.
But do you know, this will tell you what an optimist I am. I was surprised when I went back 2 hours later and my card wasn't still there. Carol was like, you really believe that's how things work sometimes. And it's true. I guess I'm naive to a fault.
Let me tell you something about what I forgot to mention. With all the stuff, the renos and stuff that have been going on, we still don't have a kitchen, man. So it's been like going out to grab up takeout or, you know, order something in or pizza.
No.
And I'm just so sick of it. Like driving, going, gets waiting for 10 minutes. Like the kitchen, it's an unfortunate situation, but the bod who was putting the kitchen in, one of the main cabinet bods had a health issue. And it, you know, just kind of came as one of those things they were supposed to start. And so, we had, you know, it's an unfortunate health situation. So we're just kind of in limbo trying to figure out how to get the kitchen in there so we can start eating on a regular basis.
There's nothing at Jack Astor's on the menu would have now.
No. You know what's not too bad is Kelsey's. Surprisingly, like good stuff, you know, because you go to a lot of these places, and I don't want to chirp anybody in a bad way, but the quality of the food is just terrible. So you know you're spending $100 for your whole family to eat, and you're like eating two bites, and you're like, this chicken tastes terrible. Like, I can't even eat this. So I got to give at least Kelsey's some props up here in Newmarket for.
It's
making simple stuff that's like quality that the kids are happy with, you know what I mean? That's the other thing, trying to find something that they like, and it's like, man, you're spending the money, so you gotta eat it.
Eastside Mario's is the one that I can't do.
Yeah,
I can usually find something at some of those places, but that, I don't know about that one.
Me too. Yeah, it's a little bit I feel like this is a little, I'm getting pickpocketed here.
Yeah. Bada bing, bada barf, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now watch, the podcast guys. Exchange will come to us and say, good news, Eastside Mario's is in. Oh. Have you ever mentioned them on your show? I don't think so.
I don't know. I can't remember, actually. I don't remember that.
And then I have to see bada bing, bada barf written in print, like as a transcript of our show.
Oh, man.
Okay, yeah. Last one. Yubu, okay. British Columbia. Y-O-U-B-O-U. Yubu.
I love it. I hope it's real, so I'm going to say yes.
It's real.
Yeah, it is real, bud. I knew
nailed
it.
Her, bud.
I'm going. I'm going to Uber.
I'm going to take Joy out to Citadel Hill. See if she can do her business on an historic monument.
An historic steaming coiler on Citadel Hill.
Yeah. Staycation, bud. That's what you get.
Have fun.
Thanks, bud.
Good one.
Good job, bud.
Hey, bud.